And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. The Juneau Assembly Finance Committee has voted to set this year's mill rate at 10.16. That's lower than what city staff proposed at the start of the budget process, and lower than this year's mill rate. The mill rate determines how much property tax the city collects from residents. Because property values have gone up, the city will still get more property tax, even if the new mill rate is lower. Assembly member Michelle Hale proposed a lower mill rate at a meeting yesterday. She said that they would get the average property tax increase close to the rate of inflation since 2020.
I am completely sympathetic that property taxes will be going up, but everything is going up. And just as households are experiencing inflation, so is city government.
In April, city staff proposed a mill rate of 10.28. That would have allowed the city to put away $4 million in savings. Assemblymember Kristen Wall spoke in favor of that proposal.
I commend city staff for putting together a budget that is balanced. Obviously, there's assumptions in there. If we want to challenge those assumptions, we probably should have done that earlier, but I'm much more comfortable passing a balanced budget.
10.16 rate proposed by Hale would have left the city with a $1 million budget deficit. To remedy that, the Assembly voted to reduce the amount put into savings from $4 million to $3 million. Assemblymember Alicia Hughes-Scandies said that could work this year, but not in the long term.
I certainly couldn't live with doing that for more than a year because, I mean, I think it just starts to emulate what they do up the hill as far as not making real decisions and then just paying for our underfunding the government through our savings, which I think is a bad long-term plan.
The 10.16 mill rate passed in a vote of 6-1, with Wall voting no. The full assembly will vote on the budget on June 12th. Bethel was the site of a VIP visit yesterday when the First Lady and Interior Secretary both came to town, mainly to tow a telecommunications project funded by federal infrastructure money. A part of the local high school was secured to receive the dignitaries. KYUK's Francisco Martinez Cuella was there.
First Lady Jill Biden and Interior Secretary Deb Haaland touched down in Bethel, Alaska, shortly after 5:30 p.m. Wednesday evening. The First Lady exited first, waved to reporters as she stepped outside the plane onto the mobile stairway. The wind was strong and chilly with temperatures in the high 30s. It snowed earlier in the day. The First Lady and Secretary were greeted by three Alaska Native women, Representative Mary Peltola, First Lady of Alaska Rose Dunleavy, and Bethel Mayor Rose Sugar Henderson. The First Lady, Secretary Haaland, Peltola, and Dunleavy got in vehicles and made their way to Bethel Regional High School. Along the way, the motorcade was greeted by members of the community along the side of the road. When the motorcade arrived at Bethel Regional High School, Mayor Henderson and other Bethel leaders spoke to the crowd. Anna Hoffman, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Bethel Native Corporation, spoke, as well as First Lady of Alaska Rose Dunleavy, Secretary Haaland, Representative Mary Peltola, and finally First Lady Jill Biden. In Biden's speech, she referenced her last visit to Alaska, where she received her Yupik name.
I had the opportunity to visit the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium in Anchorage, where I met Valerie Davidson, the president of the consortium and a daughter of Bethel. And through Valerie and her team, I got to know this incredible state a bit better.
She stated she understood the connection to family, tradition, and the natural world, as well as the importance of subsistence.
And yet, I also learned about the challenges you face and how communities in rural areas like this one often feel unseen and underappreciated for their unique contributions to our country.
Biden touted the Biden-Harris administration's work to invest $100 million in the region to bring an affordable, faster, more reliable internet to Alaska through a partnership of BNC and GCI extending fiber optic cable inland from the coast of Kuskokwim Bay.
And this is one of the largest tribal broadband expansions in our country. With high-speed internet, you'll have better access to critical health care, new educational tools, and remote job opportunities. It will change lives and it will save lives.
After the speech, there was a performance from Ayaprun Litnarvik students, and Biden was given a cuspuk, a a traditional overshirt. The color? Well, red, white, and blue, of course. At Bethel Regional High School, I'm Francisco Martinez Cuello.
The last month of the legislative session is filled with final committee hearings, floor sessions, and backdoor meetings. For one legislator, it's also time for whaling. Josiah Pocketuck is a representative from Utqiagvik, saying, and he says that time for subsistence tradition is about more than just the food. Alaska Public Media's Lex Trainin has more.
In early May, as tensions at the state capitol were beginning to simmer over the budget, Representative Josiah Pocketuck was facing a different sort of challenge. The explosive in his harpoon wasn't igniting.
When I nicked the rope that's attached to the toggle head harpoon, it stopped the momentum of the whole assembly going after, and so all that happened was the toggle head had gone into the whale and the bomb didn't get triggered.
Pocketuck was in a small aluminum skiff on a lead in the ice between the Arctic Ocean and the Beaufort Sea north of Utqiagvik. The explosive was lodged in a 38-foot bowhead whale during its spring migration. Pocketuck says, unusually, the whale didn't dive after his first strike, allowing him to hit it again. The second strike had enough force to trigger the explosive cap in his harpoon.
Altogether, it was a good whale to catch and good whale to feed.
Pocketuck's whaling tradition, which he's continued for the last 3 years he's served as a state representative, might make him the only legislator in the state's history to leave during the session for a subsistence whale hunt. Reggie Jewell is a former Democratic legislator who represented the huge region from Utqiagvik to Norton Sound for nearly two decades, beginning in the mid-90s.
The fact that he made the decision and continues to engage in subsistence, especially for whaling, I think is a pretty incredible statement.
That statement, Jewell says, is that feeding the community comes before all else. Jewell says he gave up whaling shortly before being elected to the legislature, and he can't remember anyone else leaving during the season for a hunt. Jewell says part of that is the timing of the whaling season in the spring.
I mean, if it came to moose hunting season, you'd see people leaving.
Leaving during the session comes at a cost. Between lobbying for opening the Willow oil development in Washington, D.C., and his two-week trip home that included his whaling, Pocketuck has missed more votes than any other legislator, and the committee he chairs hasn't met this session. Despite that, his colleagues acknowledge the importance of subsistence traditions. And Pocketuck says it's also important in a more civic way.
Arguably, you're living the same, if not similar, life than the people that you're representing, right? And so representing the folks of District 40 is predominantly Inupiaq people that live a cultural subsistence lifestyle.
After killing the whale, Pocketuck and his crew hauled the 40-ton bowhead onto the frozen sea ice. He and his crew got to work cutting it up. Within a day or two, they'd boiled it and then packaged it into Ziploc bags, sometimes together with Cool Whip and berries.
You get on the VHF and you say, everybody come and eat, well, bless the food. Yeah. Say a prayer, bless the food, and then invite everybody over to come and eat.
He also brought a few bags back to Juneau to share with his wife and three kids, and whichever legislators would take it. He says the cooperation needed for successful whaling, from sewing skin boats to keeping watch for the season's first migrating whales in sub-zero weather, it's an important lesson.
You can have those disagreements with them, but when it comes time for whaling, we all work together as a community to feed the community and feed our people as a whole, because we understand that the important aspect of being able to eat that traditional food is it rises above all of that other stuff.
He says he's not sure which is harder, coming up with a budget or whaling, but he says he knows he'd much rather be whaling. Reporting from Juneau, I'm Lex Trinan.
Today is the last warm, summery day in Juneau for a little while. The period of warming temperatures that hit Southeast Alaska starting earlier this week is finally coming to an end. You can expect the rain to return, with showers starting just before sunrise tomorrow on early Friday morning, and then scattered showers and partial clouds throughout the weekend. This warm period across the Panhandle was record-breaking for many communities. Yesterday at the Juneau Airport, a recorded temperature of 73 broke a daily record set back in 2014. The same was true in Petersburg, which also broke a 2014 record. Sitka and Kwok also broke records earlier this week. So get out and enjoy the sunshine while you can before we have rain again. For more stories, check out ktoo.org.